Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world, with the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author, Matt Adams.
What is going on, folks? Welcome to the Fairways of Life show on this Monday, the 1st of April. Hopefully that doesn't come as a shock to you that we're already in April of 2024. Hope everybody had a nice Easter weekend. It was a great weekend for golf. If you love storylines, there were plenty of them in the week that was. I was up hosting the down, as it were. I was hosting the Texas Children's Houston Open for PGA Tour Live, and I loved all the storylines that were swinging around. As it were, and when it all settled out, Steven Yeager ended up winning over world number one. Yeager, for the first time, breaking through on the PGA Tour. Congratulations for that. You can see the Texas Children's Houston Open sent out the X. Can I call him a tweet anymore? Introducing your 2024 Texas Children's Houston Open champion, Steven Yeager. Yeah, he wasn't the only one. Another storyline that I was referring to in the world of golf. Nelly Korda won the Ford Championship. She did what Scotty was trying to do, which was win three in a row. We will talk about that as the show continues. And Goosen and Nakajima, respectively, on the DP World Tour, Hero Indian Open, and the Gallery Classic. Goosen, it's how many wins, Dom, does Retief have now on the PGA Tour Champions? I heard you mention it before we went on the air.
Yeah, he's got three. That's his third win. But I think more importantly, that's, I think, what is that, 39th professional win for the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, pretty very impressive there too. With Nakajima, the thing that was so impressive was, first of all, he dominated, which is always interesting and fun to see, when, because we have this conversation all the time, right? Do you want dominating players in the game, whether we're talking about in a round, whether we're talking about in a tournament, whether we're talking about in a season or in a league? And he was definitely dominating. And from, again, I don't know a lot about him. I'm looking forward to learning more about him. But I don't know a lot about him yet, where I'm looking at a player like this, listening to experts from around the world saying, no, he's very, very much the real deal, and keep a close eye on that. Now, what happened with Scottie Scheffler at the Texas Children's Houston Open and the advantage that Steven Yeager, to his own credit, who played well enough to win? This wasn't a tournament that I looked at it and said, no, Scottie Scheffler lost this tournament. This was one that, my definition, Steven Yeager won, even though Scheffler had makeable putt opportunities on the final two holes. From what I was seeing throughout the course of the week, and I said this earlier, I was working with Dennis Paulson all week. He was my partner. It was awesome. And I was noticing early on, not just from Scottie Scheffler, but for some other players as well, I just thought I was noticing fatigue. You know, and how it manifests itself in little ways with players at that elite level, right? Little loss of focus here. And I want to get into that in a second. But first, Earl Forsey and Mark Wilson, of course, were anchoring the coverage for PGA Tour Radio. And guys, it wasn't what we expected. I wouldn't necessarily call it a wild finish. Maybe you would. But it was a finish that was a breakthrough nonetheless. It just this time was a breakthrough for Steven Yeager.
Well, Matt, thanks. Texas Two-Step began on the PGA Tour with a thriller this week. Memorial Park Golf Course in Houston for the Texas Children's Houston Open. Mark Wilson was our analyst, five-time winner on the PGA Tour alongside. Boy, there's a lot to talk about in this one. It was a weekend, Mark. So many golfers, different players were in it down the stretch. Scottie Scheffler didn't get it done at the end. We'll talk about him in a moment. First, how about the winner? Steven Yeager, first career win on the PGA Tour, holding off at least a dozen guys over the weekend to win it.
It was a wild ride. Steven Yeager, the last one standing, didn't make a birdie on the back nine. Nine straight pars to finish the thing out, and you thought that maybe that wasn't going to be enough. But the big story for me watching him this week is just the pickup in distance that he's gained over the last couple of years, going from a guy kind of towards the bottom of the driving numbers up to a ninth this season in driving distance. He just lets it rip. He just lets it fly, which is really fun to watch. A very aggressive player, very quick player too, very decisive. And he's, you know, well worth the wait. Six wins on the Korn Ferry Tour, now validated with the win on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and has that Korn Ferry Tour scoring record still from the 58, and now he's got a PGA Tour win to his credit. And, you know, he did it side-by-side in the same group, the same threesome with Scheffler on Sunday. Scheffler put the heat on him late, but, wow, 18. You know, we had a missed putt by Scheffler on Friday from 2 feet to end a string of consecutive rounds under par, and we had a five-footer miss that would have tied things up late on Sunday. It's a disappointing finish, certainly, for Scheffler.
It sure is. And, yeah, like Stephen Yeager played with Scottie Scheffler both rounds over the weekend, so side-by-side there. But for Scottie Scheffler, so many what-ifs, so many shots here or there, most notably the three-putt from 6 feet on Friday on the 18th, but then still the great chance to make birdie at 18. Three balls in the water on the back nine on Friday and Saturday. Just so many different things for him, but still it just shows why he's the number one player in the world. He doesn't have to play his best to still either win or come close to winning on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, it still is relentless. I mean, two wins and a tie for second, still pretty good, and it's why Scheffler extends his FedEx Cup points lead and the top player in the game with what's going to be a lot of momentum for him in a couple of weeks going into the year's first major. He's going to be a heavy favorite.
He will be a heavy favorite, no question about it. And, you know, everything looks pretty sound for him, and he's just a gritty competitor. He wants to get it done. You could see the when he hit that iron shot in the 18 in the final round, like he's like, all right, here we go. I got a chance still. He loved that and not able to get it done. But, yes, at Augusta National, look out, boys.
Thrilling win, though, for Germany's Stephen Yeager, Matt, at the Texas Children's Houston Open. And one more week in Texas before we head to Augusta this week. It's the Valero Texas Open in San Antonio.
A pretty good field there, too, gents. Thank you very much. PGA Tour Radio can be heard on the PGA Tour app, PGAtour.com, or National Satellite Radio. So what I was talking about, when you look at Scottie Scheffler, and Mark mentioned it, three balls in the water on Friday and Saturday. And this comes back to why I felt like there was a fatigue factor going on. And I think that, you know, you could hear that and go, okay, who cares? The players are tired. It's a long season. They're going through a long stretch. There's a lot going on. Well, you've got the Masters right around the corner. So it is a question. Can you get the rest to be ready for the Masters? Let's take a look at what Scottie Scheffler did. In round one, he shoots at 65. And throughout the course of the week, there were things that he did statistically when you compare him to the rest of the field that were anomalies, but he's so good, he overcomes it in different parts. Fair enough. We see that from great players. In round one, he was tied for 70th in greens and regulation. Does that surprise you? With a guy that's number one in strokes gained approach, right? In the second round, he shoots a 70. Right, level par, so he's 5 under for the tournament. He has 5 birdies, 3 bogeys, and that's when he double bogeys 18. It just looked like that flash of a lack of focus, right? Even though he almost made it from that bunker, in fairness. Round three, he shoots a 66, 4 under. On paper, great round. He gets to 9 under. He has 8 birdies on his card. Are you kidding me? 2 bogeys. And again, a double bogey. Now, you could look at that and go, well, wait a minute. The double that he had on 15, he had a beautiful shot on 15. It was the toughest hole of the day, all of 121 yards. Heard me correctly. 121-yard hole was the toughest hole of the day, this 15th, which I thought was beautiful. I really liked this golf course. I particularly liked the par threes. There were 3 birdies all day at 15. Every one of them came from behind the hole. So when DP, Dennis Paulson, and I were talking about it, kind of debating about it, he was like, no, he hit a great shot. He hit a great shot. He hit a great shot in 15. I was like, Dennis, where did the birdies come from? All came from behind the hole. Now, granted, there was only 3, so it was a small sample size. And so then Dennis conceded. He said, well, maybe he didn't hit it just past the flag or to the flag. He was trying to, came up in front, and when it hit with spin, it spun down the green, down the hill, into the water, into, as they say, the penalty area. Right, to that, which was what I was getting at, which was to say, well, that it wasn't a great shot if hitting in that area could spin it down into the water. And the criteria for that for me is, one, obviously it was in the wrong area, or he didn't control the spin, which is very hard to do with a high lofted club, which means he had to hit it behind the hole and try to spin it down to the hole versus hitting it in front of the hole and the spin doomed him. Yeah, all I'm saying is I'm not criticizing that one shot. Things happen. It's a long round. There's a lot of shots hit. It once again showed me what I thought I was seeing all week, which was a Scottie Scheffler that seemed a little bit mentally tired to me. He's 27 years old. Physically, I think he's fine, right? These young guys. But I just thought that it seemed like there was a little bit of a waver in the mental focus. Interestingly enough, in round three, strokes gained putting, we're talking about Scottie Scheffler here, right? Which is where all the alarms are going to go up about Scottie Scheffler. Oh, was it an anomaly? Had a couple good putting weeks, and it's really, he was seventh in strokes gained putting. Seventh. And then in the final round, he shoots a 68, 2-under, 11-under. We know how close he came. We know the opportunities that he had. He had four birdies and two bogeys. It was tough scoring. First of all, the golf course is tough. It's well-designed. Tom Doak and Brooks Koepka contributing, Brooks. And the green complexes have this kind of, I don't know, I saw parts that remind me of like Rainer and parts that remind me of Ross. The property is relatively flat, but they did these raised green complexes. You really could see it around, like I said, the par threes. But getting back to Scotty, strokes gained putting, he was 72nd in that round. So a flow and ebb. I didn't mention to you in terms of the underscore, the flow and ebb. In the second round, when he shot that even par 70, he was 128th in the field in strokes gained putting. Right? So it comes and goes. Okay. Even that isn't it that bad. It goes back to this thing that we're always talking about. That if you look at, I believe we're in an era right now where it's ball striking for dough and putt for show. I know that sounds ridiculous because it's a complete opposite of what it was. But if you look at all the top performers throughout the season, including Scottie Scheffler, their putting prowess is fair at best and usually not even average. But their ball striking is so exceptional, they overcome it. Strokes gained putting, second round, he was tied for 128th in the field. Then the third round, he's seventh. And in the final round, he's 72nd. So from that standpoint, and I was one of those that was, I don't know if the word is suspicious, but with what he did at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, with what he did at the Players, you know, using the new mallet putter, I was like, yeah, but great players have flashes with a putter. And when they flash with the putter, they do things that seemingly are unbeatable, that phrase that starts to get used, right? And so this one, my sense is, as I mentioned, that there was a little bit, that Scotty was a little bit tired after the run he's been on, and it crept into his game in different areas. The brilliance of who he is and what he can do sustained him, obviously. He came right down to two putts on the final two holes that he had to put himself, you know, into a playoff, which honestly, how many of you didn't expect him to do it? I thought it was going to happen. I was smelling playoff the whole way. But I guess the bigger picture with this is to say, what can it mean? What might it mean as we head to the Masters? Andrew, put those odds up for the Masters just for a second. You can see Scottie Scheffler, Jay Croucher was telling me this last week up at NBC Sports for Golf Central, Golf Channel. And Scottie had been 9-1, and of course he did what he did, and they cut him down to 4.5-1. Which is pretty incredible that we're talking about an era right now. You see Tiger and Phil down the bottom. How could Tiger be 100-1 and Phil be 300-1? It's the first time I really looked at that. I don't even say in the middle of a sentence, and that jarred me. So it just doesn't. We'll get into that more as we continue to progress here as well. So what I want to start with here is hearing from Scottie Scheffler. This was after he finished up. And let's get an assessment from he who came so close, one shot behind.
I didn't think it was going to move very much, and I tried to hit it straight, and I felt like I started right in the middle, and looked like it broke off pretty hard. So just a misread, sadly. Yeah, I mean, I put up a good fight. You know, I felt like I had some weird breaks this week, and then, you know, that's kind of the thing is, like, you know, it's tough to describe, but, you know, I'm obviously a bit disappointed. You know, I hit two or three really good shots into 18 to give myself a chance, and I felt like I made the putt, and then I looked up, and it was breaking off. So a bit disappointing, but, you know, Stephen played great this week, and, yeah, he's a deserving champion. Yeah, another good week. I gave myself a chance, you know, to win the tournament, and, you know, that was, you know, that's where I want to be at the beginning of the week, and today was fun. You know, obviously I wish it would have ended a little differently, but, you know, I hit what I felt like was a lot of good putts there at the end. I just couldn't get one to go in. You know, I'll move on as quickly as possible. You know, obviously I'm a bit disappointed right now, but at the end of the day, like, it would be one thing if I pulled it or something like that. I just misread it. I don't know why I misread it, but, you know, that happens as part of the game. You know, maybe I could have hit it with some more speed, but I felt like I hit a nice putt, you know, kind of how I wanted to, and that just didn't go in. No, I'll hit in Sunday like I normally do, play practice on Sunday, and then just, you know, kind of gradually get into the week, get prepared, and yeah, definitely get some rest. I'm pretty beat right now after another long week.
Definitely get some rest. I'm pretty beat right now from Scottie Scheffler. But what I did like, and this is where I think it kind of puts to rest the thought that some people may have that, you know, maybe the putter turned back into a pumpkin again. I don't think that's the case. I mean, you put a really good putt on it on 17, which at the time was the hole that I was covering. That's why I keep going back there. And 18, you just heard him say, he just misread it. He struck the putt the way he wanted to. He just misread it. It's different. It's different than when one of these players looks at a line, knows exactly what they want to do, sometimes exactly what they need to do, and the ball goes off in some direction that was not what they had intended or were trying to do at all. Really different when a player tells you they misread it, which usually aggravates them even more, incidentally, when they put a good stroke on it and they misread it. So anyway, that's where we stand with Scottie Scheffler. You will be hearing from Stephen Jaeger coming up, but first I want to talk about what's happening with Nelly Korda. Are we watching another chapter of golf history right before our eyes? We will talk about the significance of what she is accomplishing as we continue here on the Fairways of Life show. Before we get to that, Dom, what did you have for your question of the day today? And did it alter as we were having our discussion about Scottie Scheffler and what we witnessed?
It did, in fact. The question of the day is, does Scottie Scheffler actually have a putting problem? And right now it's 50-50, but when we opened the show, I fired the question off right away, but when we opened the show, that number was like 71-74% yes. And then as we got into our discussion, we showed some of the graphics you were talking about following around this week, that came back down, and now it's 50-50 right now. I mean, I'll monitor it, of course, but interesting.
Starting to mitigate as the show continues. And you'll hear more from the Texas Children's Houston Open as the show progresses. As I mentioned to you, I was really impressed with the golf course. It's not like this is the first time the event has been there. It's just the first time we have seen the event there in 16-plus months. So getting a chance to see it fresh, getting a chance to see it at this time of year, getting a chance to see it with the overseed, all of these reasons, I thought it was really cool. And I actually thought, the thought ran through my head that I think it's a golf course that could host even bigger events. That's how good I think it is. There were some areas that I thought could have been softened a little bit. The right front on 18, thought was a little bit severe. I could see them doing a little mitigation on 15 in spots, but I love the par 3 15th. Like I said, it reminded me of the new 17th hole at Royal Liverpool last summer, except for 15 here was a much better hole than 17 at Royal Liverpool. It's just really, really cool. Beautiful, beautiful work with the symmetry of it and the way the holes looked balanced. I mean, part of a great golf course to me is the beauty. you know, the balance and how it fits. And, you know, this is a golf course, this whole area goes back about 100 years that it's been open like this. It's a huge park. It's 1,400 acres. I'd love, and normally, I'm not crazy about trees in a golf course. I love the trees here. They were so pretty, so well done, so mature, so well taken care of. Some of them strategically were important positions. Really impressive. So I had fun with the event. I thought, as Earl said, it was wildly entertaining, and what a finish it was. So too for what's happening on the LPGA with Nelly Korda. Can't wait to talk to you about what Nelly is doing when we come back. The Fairways of Life show is presented in part by the PGA Tour Superstore. If you're looking to find your game, this is the time of year, right? It's April 1. We're on the other side of Easter. This is it. Gates are open, right? Are you ready? Get ready at the PGA Tour Superstore. Whether you swing it, wear it, need to learn from it, they are pros. Shop with the pros at your happy place.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes! Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team. The absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try these. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
Not play playoff and just win. I was stressing myself out. Yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely one of my least stressful wins today.
All right, least stressful wins. That little tidbit. That's you're going to get more of Nelly Korda coming up, folks. But this from the LPGA, her third straight LPGA Tour start. Nelly Korda secured her third straight win of the season at the Ford Championship presented by KCC, becoming the first player to win three consecutive times since Arya Jutanagarn in 2016. And get this, guys. Listen in. And the first American to do so since Nancy Lopez won five in a row in 1978. Are you kidding me? Korda, who recently returned to the Rolex rankings as number one for the sixth time in her career after a victory at the Fur Hills Savory Pock Championship. Stole the show with a bogey-free 75 on Sunday to grab her 11th career tour win. She began the final round two off the lead. She said she stayed patient through rainy and windy conditions to card three birdies in her first nine holes. That was holes 5, 6, and 9. She carded two back-to-back on 12 and 13 with her fifth birdie separating her from the pack leaderboard, such as it was, to be the first in 18 under for the day and alone at the top. From there, she never looked back. It's very, very impressive by Nelly Korda, finishing on that mark of 20 under par and ended up being a two-shot victory for Nelly. So afterwards, she did address the media. She spoke about, we have so much talk lately about a dominating player in the game and the focus of our conversation, admittedly, at least last week, was Scottie Scheffler. Should the discussion be about Nelly Korda too, at least? I mean, here's a graphic with what we were just talking about. It's incredible. Here's Nelly Korda talking about the prospect of not only what she did, but of being dominating.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely one of my least stressful wins today. I just played really solid golf, didn't make really too many mistakes, and if I did, I just had a chip, kind of a straightforward chip. Overall, I capitalized on majority of my really good shots out there today and made some good putts as well. So overall, I was very, very pleased with how I played today in the tough conditions. Yeah, I mean, I was surrounded by friends. I was surrounded by Jason, Baby Benton, Caro, so my usual people. So felt really calm and just kind of waited it out. I don't think I've ever been in a position like that where I was that many groups ahead of the leaders. So just had a cup of soup to warm up because I was very, very cold, and just watched the girls come in. Not to be too distraught by the weather, to play my own games, stay in my own little bubble and give it a good shot. And when I rolled that putt in on 9, I was one back, and my caddy, actually Jason, told me that I was one back. I didn't know. And that's when we kind of dialed in a little bit more, just made sure that we went through the process of every shot. And just played some really solid golf coming in too. I don't really know. Just really enjoying myself out there. I love golf. I've always loved golf. I mean, sometimes it's harder than other days. Last year was definitely one of the harder years. I never really got any momentum going with injuries and such the past 2 years, in all honesty. And I would say the reset that I had after Bradenton really, really helped me. I really enjoyed my time off, spent a lot of time with my family, went back to Prague, enjoyed kind of life outside of golf a little, just disconnected. And to me, that was just like the perfect reset going into this like busy schedule. I'm out on the golf course, but I have a whole team behind me that I couldn't have done it without them. When it comes to my family, the support system that I have with them, and then when it comes to my team, I'm just the player, but I have a whole group behind me that is helping me lead the way. And I think that I can't thank them enough, and my success is their success. Yeah, it's a Wednesday start. We'll probably be on the golf course tomorrow and then a pro-am Tuesday. I've never played at that golf course, and it's a completely different format with first 3 days a stroke play, and then the top 8 girls get into match play. So I'm going to try to reset, enjoy the day today, reset, and try to give it my all next week. It's a quick turnaround. Yeah, it's just so one at a time. I think this is, I don't know, I've been a professional golfer since 2016. And when you get ahead of yourself, I mean, it's just never going to be positive. So I'm going to take it one tournament at a time, stay very present. It's worked pretty well so far. Sometimes it's much harder than others. Your self-expectations, expectations around you too, but I'm going to try and stay in my own little bubble and see how it goes. Yeah, I mean, I can't thank Ford enough for stepping up and supporting women's golf, and to be able to win in front of them was a lot of fun. But any single time I get to lift the trophy, it's just an amazing feeling. I mean, every year, I feel like every year I'm constantly working on my body, so my body feels a little different. I would say the year of 2021, I definitely wasn't as strong as I am this year. I really prioritized in the 7 weeks my fitness. So it's easy to compare for sure, but I think that the golf that I'm playing right now, I mean, hopefully it leads me to the year that I had in 2021 or better, but yeah, just not really focusing too much on that, on the results, just focusing on my process a lot. Yeah, for sure. Appreciation. I've definitely grown and matured a lot as well. Some of the decisions that maybe Jay and I would make on the golf course, being a little riskier, we don't try to do in contention, or I would just say in general, the appreciation for the life that I get to live out here, travel, play in front of fans, inspire the next generation, definitely appreciate that more.
You know, Matt, this is her 11th PGA Tour win, and she hasn't won a major championship since the 2021 KPMG Women's PGA Championship. And remember, in that year, she won 4 times on the LPGA Tour. And then she kind of went through like a lull. Like, do you think that was maybe a valley in her game and she's coming back up again and going to be on form? Like, what should we expect from her at the Chevron?
No,
which is just
I think
a few weeks away.
I think that was totally due to the injury. I think it was totally due to the blood clot that she had in her arm and the time that it took for her to heal from that and then come back from the time that it took for her to heal from that. So, yeah, I don't think it had anything to do with performance. Here's a question I got for you, Dom. Your question of the day, again, I always try to paraphrase and I get it wrong. How exactly did you ask your question of the day, first of all?
Paraphrase and get it wrong.
I do. I get
Does
it wrong.
Does Scottie Scheffler actually have a putting problem is the question.
All right. And what's the update on that right now?
It's 52%. It's still going back and forth. It's kind of been bouncing between like 55 and 45 on opposite ends. And right now it's at 52% yes.
All right. So here's the question
so
I have
pretty well split, which is interesting.
All right. Here's my question, because I don't know how all this works. Could you do more than one question of the day today? Is that possible?
I mean, I can end this question and make a new one.
Yeah, let's do that.
If you just want to accept that everyone's down the middle on this Scheffler issue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm happy with that. Yeah, I'm bored with that question. Okay. Here's a question that I'd like for you to ask the people.
Okay.
And again,
question.
You phrase it the way you want
I'm
to.
Ready.
You have different ways of phrasing.
Apparently not. Apparently you're going to feed me the question. So go ahead.
Here we go. Here's a question that I want to know. Would you rather have the swing of Scottie Scheffler or Nelly Korda? Right? You're a slow typer. Would you rather have the swing?
I'm not slow typing. I'm a pretty fast typer.
Would you rather have the swing
personal assistant
of Scottie Scheffler or Nelly Korda? I knew we'd get all chippy about this.
There's got to be a third option, though. Like, I don't want either of those swings, or
what?
I would not, you know, I wouldn't be able to do with that, or I don't know, something else. No,
right, put another.
You're gonna
on
make
there.
It. You're gonna make it just one or the other.
I think. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm comparing Scottie Scheffler and Nelly Korda right now as arguably.
Okay. All right. Forget it. Those are the only two options. It's done. Scottie or Nelly's. It's out
or
there.
What are the results?
75%, 25%. There's just.
All right.
It's going
so
very quickly.
When we come back, as I promised you that we would, we are going to hear from he who just broke through on the PGA Tour, Steven Yeager. That will be coming up right after this, and we'll get some results on what you guys think. If you want to weigh in on the question of the day, log on to the Fairways of Life YouTube channel. That's where he's posting all this. When you're over there, subscribe to. We'll be back with more after this.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team. The absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Pushcart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with three locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today.
Welcome back to the Fairways of Life, Matt. The results are in, and very quickly, it is clear and obvious that the people would much prefer Nelly Korda's golf swing. 80% with the early returns. 80% of people would prefer Nelly Korda's swing, 81% over Scottie Scheffler's swing. Now, how much do you think that has to do with the Scottie Shuffle? Where people are like, I'd 100%. Like his swing, but I physically can't do that.
It's 100% that. I don't know if you guys saw the video of Padraig Harrington. He tried to replicate the Scottie Scheffler swing. And what he was saying was that Scottie uses ground forces. He uses ground forces from his right leg, and then he transitions to ground forces on his left leg. And Padraig almost fell over trying to do it. He said it's so hard to do. So obviously it works for Scottie Scheffler because look at what Scottie Scheffler does. But I'm just talking about terms of, I'm not surprised. I tried not to be leading with this question. But if you look at Nelly Korda's golf swing, she might have
82%.
The best golf, 82%. She might have the best golf swing in the world. It is that good. And that'd be another question for another day or maybe later on in this show. Who has the best golf swing in the world? It might be Nelly Korda. That's what I'm saying. Now, as to Steven Yeager, because I promised you. Steven, first of all, there's a couple things here. What I always look at in terms of when somebody wins, somebody breaks through is form. Yeager is 34 years old. He hails from Munich, Germany, his adopted town and state, Chattanooga, Tennessee. He went to college at UT Chattanooga. So I'm going to give you his starts in 2024. See if you saw this coming. Sony Open, a tie for 18th. American Express, a tie for 52nd. Farmers Insurance Open, tie for 3rd, right? Starting to knock on the door. We know this guy has firepower. We know that he can go low, and I'll get to that in a second. AT&T Pebble Beach, tie for 71, okay? Mexico Open, tied for 3rd. Cognizant Classic in the Palm Beaches, cut. Arnold Palmer Invitational, tied for 44th. Eh. Players Championship, cut. Next start, Steven Yeager wins. He was a player that, for fans, I'm sure, for most of us that you know watched the game closely, we were waiting for him to do Steven Yeager things. And when he had those couple high finishers, we're like, he's getting ready. And then it kind of slowed down again. His best finishes on the PGA Tour were those two that I mentioned to you beforehand. That's what I talk about in terms of ascent. That's the reason why I like, you know, a cut. I like a if not a full field event, like 156 at least 120 at the invitationals and so forth. But on the Korn Ferry Tour, he won 6 times, and that's what I want to focus on just for a second. He played the Korn Ferry Tour in 2013, 2015 to 2017, and 20 to 21. His career is rolling down the same kind of path as what we're seeing in terms of finishes on the PGA Tour. But on the Korn Ferry Tour, he definitely caught wind in his sails. He was the Korn Ferry Tour Player of the Year in 2021 after finishing first in the regular season standings. He won 2 times during the wraparound season, giving him 6 wins on that tour in his career, tied for the most all-time with Jason Gore. He won the Korn Ferry Tour Money title, was 2nd on the tour, birdie average, and 3rd in putting average. This is a guy in 2016 at the Ellie Mae Classic, shot a 12 under par 58. Here's Steven Yeager in the euphoria in a tight leaderboard after winning yesterday.
It feels amazing. I couldn't have dreamed up a better week to do it. Obviously, we're playing Scotty last couple of days. He's been on a tear. So to kind of slay the dragon a little bit this week was amazing. And he's such a good dude, such a good player. I was just happy to play with him a couple of days. The goals remain the same in a sense. You know, like my goal has been playing as well as I can the entire year, and it changes a couple of tournaments that I get in easier, and I'm excited for that. I'm excited to kind of get on that next level and compete in majors and do all that kind of stuff. That's been my goal for a few years now. So like I said, super excited obviously this week to get it done, and have a great rest of the year. Yeah, I mean, 100%. I expected him to make it, and I'm not mad at him for missing it. It's such a great feeling, obviously, and I'm super excited to get it done. And I couldn't have dreamt a better way to finishing and beating number one player in the world. And the guy's really good, and I'm super happy to get it done this week. No, I mean, I try to stay within myself, play my own game in a sense. If you play with a guy, you know what he's doing, right? Like, we've played enough golf. So, but I wanted to just do my best. And, you know, it, like I said, there, I didn't make any birdies, but also didn't make any bogeys in the back nine, which sometimes, you know, is enough, especially on a harder golf course. I mean, 12 under winning, you consider that a hard golf course on the PGA Tour for sure. So to be able to do that was very rewarding. But, you know, I don't think there's one moment I just, you know, you can't think ahead too much. Your mind's going to want to do that. It did it. But, you know, kind of to pull it back a little bit and be like, hey, you know, you still got a whole job to do is big. It just kind of validates the work I've been doing on and off the golf course, and it validates all the, you know, hours that I spend on perfecting the craft in a sense. And, yeah, you know, I found that the best way to kind of, you know, reset after that is have some days off and make sure, like, hey, you know, you're still just me. You know, you won the golf tournament, but you still got to go back to work. You got to, you know, do the right things and do the things that got you there for sure. Those two, they've been by my side ever since. Obviously, my son's 16 months old, so that was a life changer. But my wife's been on my side for, you know, a long time. She's seen the worst, and she's seen me win on the Korn Ferry Tour. She, you know, she's been by my side. She's been my biggest supporter, biggest critic too. You know, like she'll set me straight if something's going on. So to be able to celebrate with them, the two most important people in my life, and I'm super happy they were here. To you know, hopefully I'll do that again when my son remembers it. That's, I think, the one of my goals in my life, to have him remember that dad was actually good at something before he's 14, 15 years old. I'm retired, and he's like, what did you do with your life? So you know, that's kind of a long-term goal. Yeah, we started dating in 2015, end of 2015. I had just finished a year on the Latin tour, made about $12,000 that year. It was a great year. Like I said, she's seen everything. She's seen miscuts after miscuts, and she's seen some wins and seen great stuff. So I owe a lot of that stuff to her. You know, I always say, you know, that winning golf tournaments is not going to make us happy, but it sure as hell feels really good. So, you know, that feeling we chase for a lot of times over our careers, and to be able to share that with the most important people in your world is amazing. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I want him to be able to do whatever he wants to do, right? I think the option of not playing sports is not an option. I think sports teach you so many things. Camaraderie, you know, obviously golf you play by yourself, but there's so many sports that you learn to, you know, learn so many social skills and competitiveness and all that kind of stuff. I'm hope to instill that in him at some point when he's older. And if he wants to play a professional sport, I'm gonna try to guide him the right way, not be too involved, but also give him a helping hand sometimes when he needs to. And if he doesn't want to, that's great. But I think sports are definitely a must for kids. I think they teach them so many things. Yeah, you know, it's funny because I have three ball markers in my bag that my wife made me. One, my son Fritz is on the name with a four-leaf clover. One is my dog Phil. And when I pulled it out, I always pull it out not knowing which one I pulled out. I pulled my dad's one out. It says Papa Klaus. So he obviously passed away a couple of years ago, the week of the Players. And that was probably the low part of my life. I was playing terrible golf. And the silver lining of that story is my son was conceived that week. That was kind of that, you know, you lose a life and you gain a life, right? And you know, he'd be rolling over right now, happy. And but yeah, we miss him. And my mom's coming over next week, so we'll celebrate with her a little bit. And yeah, it'd be great. I always pull him out before the round, and that's whoever I pull out. That's the one I use for the day. And it was my son the first 3 days, and was my dad today. And I just kind of smiled. And I, you know, when you kind of said earlier what was a good omen for the day, that was my good omen for the day for sure. I can't wait. It's been obviously a dream of mine for a long time, and I've had plenty of opportunities to go play it, you know, obviously pre-masters or, you know, during the year. But I've said I'm not going until I'm in the Masters. So we'll see if I can make a trip beforehand and kind of see it before the craziness starts. And yeah, I'm super excited, obviously.
That is why we do what we do, so that you guys get an opportunity to hear long form from the players. Like that last story about the ball, Mark, absolutely awesome. More coming up in the Fairways of Life show right after this.
I guess, hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Easy now. Find your happy place. It's all in the hips. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find the latest clubs and apparel at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Stride by Zero Friction, the first of its kind personal caddy. Walk in comfort and style with Stride's remote and follow me technology. The Stride handles almost any terrain, and its 54-hole range will last all day. The lightweight design and removable front wheels makes it simple to handle. Plus, it easily fits golf carts. Order yours and save. Visit zerofriction.com/stride or scan the QR code to order yours today. Stride, your personal caddy.
Welcome back, Matt, to the Fairways of Life. Guess what?
What do you got?
84% now. It can't be at 100%. Like, I just think, I'm not sure it, like, statistically can be. So it just keeps creeping up closer to it, though.
This
84%
is
now would prefer Nelly Korda's golf swing over Scottie Scheffler's.
Which doesn't mean that Scottie has a bad golf swing. He's number one. She's number one. I just think, you know, give credit where credit's due. That's a reason why we blew up your question of the day. With all due respect, it was a great question. I don't remember what it was. It was great.
Yeah, the best.
But I just wanted to know what the people thought, because Nelly Korda's swing is so classic. Here's another question of the day. Who would you compare her swing to? Right? All time. Who would you compare her swing to? It is that good. I'd have to think about that. There's a little bit of Byron Nelson in there, but I'd have to think about that. I'm sure people are going to be weighing in on that as well. Did you see I guess it was a tweet that John Rahm sent out? I'm not sure what to call those things anymore. He sent out an X. Do we call him an X? Dumb.
Yeah, it's X.
But do you say you somebody sent
X.
out an
it
X?
It is X.
But that's what the platform's called. It's called Twitter. It used to be called Twitter. Now it's called X. What do you call when you send something out?
A post.
Officially moving to zone defense. Baby Rahm number 3 is coming for Jon Rahm, the defending Masters champion. I know there's a lot of excitement about that. Andrew, throw the odds back up there again that we had for the Masters. If you guys have that, this was as of this morning. There could be some movement since that time. There you can see Rory at 12 to 1, Jon Rahm at 14 to 1, Xander Schauffele at 16 to 1. I heard a lot of stuff. I saw like social media, a lot of people were picking Xander Schauffele to win. Brooks Koepka. Joaquin Neiman was one that I've picked already because Dom said we couldn't pick one of the top guys, but then he changed the rules that he could. So I had picked Joaquin. I still think he's a great pick. Victor Hovland. I don't understand. I told you this early in the show how Tiger is 100 to 1. That's betting with your heart.
It'll be curious to see how those move around, Matt. You know, like Rory's playing this week. Spieth is playing this week at the Valero. It'll be interesting to see if those get, you know, they move around a bunch or if it kind of hangs tight around there. I mean, Scotty's going to be the favorite, I think, no matter what happens.
Somebody on social media just sent me a thing and said you should call those posts Twix. So it's kind of got the Twitter thing with the X, Twix. T-W-I-X. I don't think that's a bad suggestion either. So we'll continue to talk about these odds in more as we continue in the Fairways of Life show this week. We've got some really cool guests coming up tomorrow, too, a name that's very much in the mix on the PGA Tour right now, and he is in the Masters. We'll talk about all of that. Thanks for your company. Have a great Monday. Be well. Bye for now.